Welcome to Conversations About Running, the podcast from Running Trips. I'm Gavin Smith, and in today's episode, Callum and I talk to Jake Smith. Jake is a professional athlete for Nike and NN Running Team. He's the third fastest British half marathon runner of all time, with a PB of 60.31, set when finishing 18th in the World Championships in 2020. He's been running at an elite level for a number of years now, but shot to mainstream recognition when he won the Cheshire Elite Marathon in 2021 in 2:11 exactly, despite entering the race as a pacemaker with no intention of finishing. That day, Jake earned the moniker Marathon Maverick, and today we discuss with Jake the pros and cons of his maverick approach to distance running. Amongst other topics, we discuss the newly announced Olympic qualifying standards, Jake's recent injury and his current comeback, his new coaching setup with Gavin and Joe Pavey, and his time spent in Uganda training with world record holder Joshua Cheptegei. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy this episode of Conversations About Running with Jake Smith. Welcome to another episode of Conversations About Running. Today, we are very fortunate to be joined by British runner Jake Smith. Jake, thanks for coming along.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. And when you said very fortunate, that's not how I'm feeling today, Gavin.
No,
that is not how I'm feeling. Oh, I just feel like it's going around at the moment, but I think I can hear it in your voice as well. But yeah, I'm just feeling absolutely under the weather at the moment.
See, I tend to be quite healthy generally, but yeah, I'm rough at the moment. So yeah, Jake, I think if this was an in-person interview, you definitely wouldn't want to be in the same room as Callum and I this morning. But yeah, over the phone, I don't think even COVID can get through.
Where are you in the world today, Jake?
So I'm back down at where my parents live. So I'm here for Christmas. So it's back down in Seaton in Devon.
Yeah, is that almost your part of the world, Callum?
Yeah, not far. Well, do you train at, is it Somerville Lane Track? Is that the right?
Yeah, the one in Exeter.
Yeah, do you Exeter train there? Did I get the name right?
Well, I've spoken to someone who's called it by that name before, but right. I'm so sure it is. But
that's So it's not exactly local to where I grew up. So I grew up in Cornwall and ran for Cornwall AC, and Exeter was really my like nearest competitive track, like where you would go for like the BMC races and stuff like that. But it was still a good like over 2 hour drive. Yeah. So
that's where I did my first English schools.
At Exeter?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they had one at Exeter.
I'm surprised you can even hold it there. There's not much.
Yeah, it's like, all right. We stayed at, I can't remember how far away the accommodation was from the track, but we stayed at the university.
Wow. Yeah, nice. Oh, mate, that's always so fun when you just get a group of like 15 to 17 year olds staying athletes staying in university halls for the first time. You just feel like an absolute legend.
Unspecified carnage.
Yeah, exactly.
we'll put a link in the show notes for anyone who didn't get that that in between us reference. Right, Jake, we're talking nonsense amongst ourselves. Let's move on before Callum and I start talking about how ill we are and stuff. Yeah, so Jake, thanks for joining us. First things first, did you see the Olympic qualifying standards that they just announced yesterday?
Yeah, I'm a bit confused. It's like, are they doing it so like the best of the best go and then they go from rankings after that?
That is only what I can presume, because my very initial thought was that must be a typo.
Which specific distance?
For the men's 10K and men's marathon to an extent. I mean, focusing on those two because of Jake as our guest today. Yeah, there's a few other standards that kind of like stand out as well, but men's 10K in particular.
How many people have actually run it this year? It's not many.
I think it's eight. No. I haven't verified that myself, but I just saw someone else say eight people have run the standard this year.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but it's 27 flat for the 10,000 and 208.10. Is that right? 208 for the marathon.
So yeah, I can only presume, Jake, that you're exactly right. And it's a little bit more nuanced than just you have to run a sub 27. Yeah. It's sub 27 and then they'll go down the rankings until they filled however many spots. But yeah. I didn't see. Did you see how many spots they were?
Is it 30? No, it's normally a bit less. Is it on the track 24 for 10K? It's quite hectic. And then in the marathon, it's like 64. I know that.
Yeah, okay.
Something like that. Maybe more.
What are your initial, like as it pertains to you specifically, what are your initial thoughts looking at that?
Oh, I love it. Oh, I'm not going to lie, I love it. It just gives people a challenge. I think they're absolutely crazy and like people like are kicking off about them. But I think that most of the people are going to be picked off rankings. But I think it's just, I love a challenge, and it's, if it pushes people towards training harder, trying to run a quicker time, then sod it. It'll be good fun.
does it initially make you lean one way or the other?
For Paris, I was always thinking more about the longer distance anyway.
Yeah.
Not like 100% or anything, but like the 10K, like now I've seen how quick people are and doing like Highgate last year, and I loved every experience. And basically all I did last summer, like with Callum, like training with him, was just focusing on my short speed. So when people say attack in a road race, I can go with it. That's what I've been trying to do for the last couple of years. And hopefully it pays off in the long run.
Yeah. So we did quite a few track sessions in the summer with some pretty fast, like 200 and 400 reps. So you're saying the kind of the idea behind that wasn't necessarily to focus on track work, like, or track races like 5,000 or anything even shorter, but more so that you could have a sprint finish basically in a longer race.
Exactly. It's like, because I wanted to run quite quick on the track, and I got a bit like screwed times with some of the races. But
yeah, okay. So that is interesting, because as I know, I trained with you and we had a chat at the track, as an outsider looking in and seeing what you were doing, my kind of initial thoughts were, oh, okay, he's clearly good at the marathon, but it looks like he's focusing on to almost 1500 and 5000 at one point. I thought, wow, he's really, you know, going for some of these faster races. But maybe that wasn't quite the case.
Yeah, I think because I wanted it to run quite quick, but like at the end of the day, when you have to look at it at a long term, I think it really made me think when I watched the World Champs and I saw that the guy who won it just kick off with the last 10K or had such a fast 10K split. And I was like, I don't want to go to I don't want to go to the Olympics or World Champs or whatever if I get into it as just another runner, just like making up the spaces.
You want to be
guys. So yeah. In order for me to do that, I need to get quicker. So in the long run, I was like, okay, it might happen again this year, depending on like my foot, how my foot heals. But I might do another similar thing to what I did last year in the summer, where I'm just focusing on the short stuff, trying to get that speed up and see how it plays in the long run.
Yeah, so it's a very interesting idea. I was a little bit like Callum. I was thinking, okay, that's interesting. He's just come off with a really good unplanned debut marathon, but then as an outsider looking at it and thinking, he hasn't gone on and capitalized on it. Instead, he's gone and like gone back to shorter track races. Yeah. Where again, as someone who doesn't know the inside story, it looked like, gotta be a little bit careful how I word it, because it's certainly not meant to be like a criticism, but it looked like a bit of a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I completely understand that. I think I spoke to my coach and Amy and stuff, and it's like, I knew I aerobically I'm very strong, but when you look at my other times, my shorter times compared to all these other guys who are running quick marathons, I'm like, I'm nowhere near them. And like, I was doing some testing. I've done some testing and everything. And like this, after working with Callum and running with these guys, I found out I can deal with lactic better from the summer work. And that will just help all in the marathon, because I was a bit afraid, like 5 minute miling, that's what I did for the marathon. But if I say I had to run 450s for that prolonged period of time, I might just hit after say 15 miles and then I'm gone.
Yeah, sure.
Like, just trying to get my leg turnover working and keeping some of the aerobic sessions in, I just found it to be more beneficial. And if I keep doing that, hopefully in a couple of years' time, I'll be able to really, really compete.
Yeah, sure. So are you then looking, in terms of what you're looking to do at the marathon at these types of events, you're not even comparing yourself to people like, I'm just running names through my head as we talk, and I'm thinking of sort of the top European guys who go and get, you know, maybe an eighth or a ninth or a tenth at the Worlds, or even someone even better than that, like Callum Hawkins. And I don't see them as super quick track runners. I see them as sort of marathon specialists who absolutely get the most out of themselves. And they're there or thereabouts. But yeah, none of them have picked up a medal, but sometimes getting really close. Is this a case of kind of you saying, not saying, but you kind of thinking to yourself, okay, I need to find a way to be even better than that, and this is the way that you're trying to go about it?
I think the best two people, Abdi Nagim, Bashir Abdi, because I paced Bashir back when he broke the European record.
Yeah.
And Abdi is part of NN, so I know him quite well. And
yeah, we know Abdi.
I've seen how they train and stuff, and like they're doing a lot. Okay, yes, they are more about the marathon, but in terms of sessions, I've heard they do shorter stuff. They go and do short races and stuff, and that's what I really, really like. And those two have won world medals, and
yeah, sure.
At the way they've like outkicked people, they can go with surges. So I think those two have really, really inspired me, and that's why this summer I was like, okay, if I want to be as good as them, I need to move up sort of like them. Maybe I'll do it a few years younger than them, because they're quite a bit older than me. But they moved up the ranks, so they went from like 5K, 10K, whatever, until they got quite good at fast at it, and then moved up.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's interesting to get that insight, because I'm pretty sure a lot of people out there will have had the same sort of thoughts that Callum and I had as outsiders. Just think, yeah, just sort of seeing that. What was it? 2:11 flat? Was that the?
Yes.
Yeah. So 2:11 flat with all the kind of extra bits that went along with it. That, you know, obviously being a pacemaker, not fueling, not really having trained for it. Yeah, and then not really understanding kind of where the next step came from. So yeah, that's really, really great insight. So should we change track just a little bit? So going from that then, anyone obviously who follows you on social media would have noticed a hell of a lot of cycling and a hell of a lot of cross training, but not very much running as of lately. So yeah, what's the story there?
Yeah, so it started, it's quite a long story, but it started back in...
We've got time, go for it.
It started back in, I raced Big Half, and I've said to people, didn't taper for it or anything. I've never felt so easy running like a 62 minute half. Like, it was so tactical and everything. I was absolutely loving it. And then 2 weeks later, I was like, okay, I have, I would have Valencia in about a month and a bit.
Half.
Yeah, Valencia half.
Yeah.
And I knew I did these like double session days with like Callum and some other people. And I was like, oh my God, I've never run. I've never been this fast. I've never been this aerobically strong. This is looking really good. And I was at my girlfriend's house, and this guy was coming on the bike with me for the run. And I was running along, and after about 6-7K, I like turned back to him because he had to just stop something. And then as I turned, and then as we started to go back the way we were supposed to, my foot just went. And I was like, this is really weird. So I don't know if I twisted it, put it in a hole or something. Because if someone had told me you were going to get an injury on the top of your foot, I would have said no chance, because I had no response before or anything. So it was really weird. I then got an MRI 2-3 days later, and it was like, a lot of people know I was in a boot. It was a fracture in my foot, in my metatarsal. So it wasn't the best, and it's been
so that was just a straight fracture or a stress fracture.
Straight fracture,
right?
Which wasn't amazing. And so I took a complete week off after the MRI, because I was like, well, this is going to be a bit horrible, but I need to just like almost take myself away from the situation. Came back home and stuff, and then afterwards I was like, I think my coaches couldn't believe how determined and motivated I was to train, and they couldn't believe how much I did. But I was like, you know what, I want to get as fit as I can. So in like 10 weeks, I averaged over 20 hours of training, whether it's on the bike, cross trainer, the assault bike, the rower. I got my worked on the weaknesses. So for example, my hamstring strength, a lot of physio said you had to work on it. And I did these tests, and I doubled all my scores in them. And it was almost like a blessing in disguise, this little injury, because it's really made me think about other ways of training.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I've loved it. And I was telling people, I don't think I've ever been this aerobic. And, so then I had another 4 days off last week, because I've now started the run walk program. And
yep.
The first 2 days were apt off. Not running for 3 months and trying to run is just weird. The legs are not working, but the other day,
especially when you're like quite fit as well, or very fit, because you've been training so much, and then the running just feels so strange.
So this is actually, sorry Jake, I'll let you carry on with this story. This is actually something that a lot of coaches and runners have to make a bit of a decision on, is that like obviously your motivation to do all that cross training was massive, but there is potentially a flip side there, that you then get back to running and you're too fit, and it's very difficult to then maybe run slow enough or to hold back on this walk run program, because heart and lungs are ready to roll.
Yes.
But your body isn't. Is that something you're now having to consider?
So yes, I am. So like it was quite weird because the first couple of days, like, I'm very much into my heart rate, and my heart rate's already coming down. So I'm having to really slow myself down, even though, I said, I just want to go. And my body's getting, because once I have time off, I always get, like, lose a little bit of fitness because it's just, like, letting the body recover. So it's something, like, I'm really having to slow myself down. But in order to make sure my running legs are getting better, I'm now doing gym 3 times a week. So working with this guy who's really, really, like, I've seen so many big improvements in the gym. And it just involves, like, calf raises and everything. Because I was in a boot, my left calf's actually an inch smaller than my right calf.
Right.
So if that doesn't get back to normal size, I won't be able to run, and it'll, like, more likely of injury.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm trying to put into my training, more gym sessions, basically reducing the cross training out, more gym sessions, and getting back to the run walk.
Yeah. So what does that run walk program look like? Like, what's the anticipated return to, well, losing walking initially?
So it's like the first couple of weeks are like, so it's like I did 2 minutes on, 1 minute walk yesterday. Tomorrow's 3 minutes on, 1 minute walk. So it's like the same number of reps, so 8 reps. And each week it just goes up by just say I've gone from 1 minute to 90 seconds to 2 minutes to 3 minutes. Next one's 4 minutes. And then it will go to 5 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. And yeah, I'm not gonna lie though, the walk's quite nice. It actually breaks it up quite a bit.
So how strict are you being with those segments? Because I know Gavin was or is coaching an athlete who went through a very similar process to you, and I know she kind of struggled a little bit. And I hope she's listening.
She got a 10K PB at Percy Pudd in Sheffield 2 weekends.
Oh, well done. If you're listening. But she really struggled initially, I think for the same reasons as you. She was in quite good shape. So she struggled to kind of be strict with herself with those segments. You know, she was like pushing the runs a little bit longer, maybe shortening the walk segments or doing a bit of extra warm up, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was exactly that. And it was, as Callum's alluding to, it's because she's from a triathlon background. So when she couldn't run, she could stay really fit through other training methods. Yeah. And then when she came back running, had a program from Dr. John Rogers, working with really good people. But yeah, 12 minutes, even got to the point of like 12 minutes of jogging, and it just felt too easy. So yeah, there was a real risk of re-injury at a point because, yeah, it was hard psychologically to stick to the program.
Yeah, I mean, I put my hand up. Like, sometimes when Gavin's giving me plans, I've done a lot more than what he's prescribed because it's good fun. But like at the end, now I'm like in this block, like I'm trying to stick to every single, like to them almost to the minute he tells me to do. Because at the end of the day, he, like, I know Joe didn't go through anything like that, but at the end of the day, him and Joe and Adam, who I'm with at the physio and in Sport Wales, they all know what's best for me. So if I just follow the plan, I know I have the best support.
Yeah,
so that's what I can do. So that's like, I'm just gonna, even though these next 2 weeks, but honestly, like tonight, I'm gonna be buzzing because I'm so excited just to do the run walk. It's crazy. It's like, it was like sleeting the other day. No one was out, and I was like, I'm out. I'm not missing this. So I'm taking my dad around this cricket pitch tomorrow. So he's doing like some efforts when I do. They're my 3 minutes. Whatever.
So I came back from a stress fracture last summer, Jake, and I found, you kind of get to a point, like the initial 4 or 5 runs are really exciting.
Yes.
Then it starts to feel, for me at least, then it starts to feel like, oh man, 8 minutes jogging. I really, you know, you kind of start to get itchy feet and you're looking ahead and you're thinking, how long is it till I can just do a 20-minute run and then a 30-minute run? So I hope your excitement stays and you don't start to get where I got, which was a little bit like angsty to push on once you've kind of, the excitement of running versus not running then shifts to I want to do more.
Yes, I completely agree with you.
So partly the reason I brought up this little segue here is because I'm just going to throw in a little anecdote about Jake's training. And so we did a session at the track of, I think it was 1k, 800, 600, and then some 400, yeah. By 400. And so Jake's messaged me the night before saying, right, these are the times that my coach has prescribed. He said, right, I want you to hit these times for these reps. And the 1K was like 240, then 800 and 203 or 202 or something like that, and working down the pace. So I've messaged Jake back saying, yeah, that's totally fine. But I've got a 1500 race coming up and I just want to try and hit the 800 split at 1500 race pace, which for me at the time was trying to hit 2 minutes for the 800. So I'll be a couple of seconds ahead of you. And he's replied saying, Jake's replied saying, mate, of course I'm coming with you. So we do the 1K rep already way too fast. We ran like, what was it, like 235 or something?
Yeah.
And then we go through 800 and Josh Lund's pacing us on the bike, pretty good pacing. And I'm on track for about 2 minutes, maybe slightly under 159 for the 800 rep. And Jake just comes flying past me and the pacing bike, just shouting, I'm going to run a PB. I'm going to run sub 2 minutes for the first time, like in the session. And I'm like, Jake, you've got a race coming up. And he's like, no, I'm going to run a PB. Just sprints down the home straight. And he's like celebrating, 158, 158. And then still carries on for the rest of the training session after having run an 800 PB. But my question about being strict and sticking to what coach has said kind of stemmed from that little anecdote of seeing Jake on that day.
So a couple of things spring to mind there. Like, so one, from the original story of the marathon, like, you know, when you became sort of known for a while as like I can't remember what the phrase was,
marathon maverick,
that's the one. And then just from some of the things you've said already, Jake, there's a level of enthusiasm there, which is certainly infectious. And it's certainly obviously one of the reasons why you've got to the level you're at already. But do you feel then that now maybe is the time to kind of learn when that enthusiasm needs to be tempered?
Oh, 100%.
Right. Yeah. Go on. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Basically I think it's quite hard. Like a lot of people have said, like, it's, like Joe and Gavin say, it's so easy to train me because I will do, I will do everything. Like, I can't tell you the last time I missed a run for sickness, ill. Like, if I'm injured, I'll get on the cross train. I'll do whatever. I think people are like, a lot of people messaged me and said, we need to hold you back.
Yeah.
And I'm in this like cycle. Like, I think it, because like, some with NN, Nike and stuff, like, I see all these great performances and there was a lot of people who really inspired me when I was injured, like Emil in Valencia, like Eurocross and stuff. I was like,
yeah, sure.
Yes, Emil said he wants to do London Marathon and stuff. He's going to be so strong. I can't let these guys get above ahead of me. So I have to do everything I can to get there. And I think that's a good thing and a bad thing at the end of the day. And it's just keeping me strained because, like, for example, if I don't race, because this foot injury, say I don't race in March or April, that's another 3-4 months until I race.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, I could, in terms of aerobic levels, like when I was training for those 10 weeks, I probably peaked 8 weeks in because I really couldn't get my heart rate up just because, like, I was so fit. And now it's like, because the 4 days have helped, they're a bit backed off and everything. So I'm able to get it back up to a higher state, which is so much better, which shows the training benefit has really helped me, like, you know, when you give yourself time off, it, like your heart, whatever, the muscles get bigger, whatever. And so I think people just...
Is that the official exercise physiology term? The muscles get bigger or whatever?
Yeah, I think it was just like, I need to be held back as well. But it's like, it's quite hard because I'll admit I'm addicted to it. Like I'm addicted to go train and everything. And yeah, when you see, I think Strava doesn't help as well. When you see someone do something, you're like, oh, screw it, I want to go do something else. But the plan Gavin has for me is amazing. Like, I love to double day basically most days anyway, and that's what I have. So it's like, it's quite nice getting out in the morning, getting out in the evening. So I'm enjoying it.
Do you, through NN or through any other link, have you ever met Abel Karoui?
I don't know if I have.
Yeah, you have it. You'd know if you had then. Yeah, he's a memorable character.
Is he?
So I used to work with... funnily enough, it's a link that you and I do have. So I used to work for Global years ago, before it was ever NN. And one of the athletes I worked with was Abel.
Yes.
And he... Certain aspects... So obviously he won two world titles and second in the Olympics. And a lot of the aspects that you're talking about, like, really remind me of Abel. And it's this incredible talent and this incredible enthusiasm. But sometimes that enthusiasm does just turn into, 100%. don't know what the word, I can't think of a good word for it, but yeah, the enthusiasm goes a bit too far. And yeah, I just remember some of the times. So Canova was his coach and I was assistant coach. And there were days where like the, I remember a couple of times specifically where he'd done a great run the day. We did a brilliant long run, 40K, really fast. This is leading into the Olympics. And then Canova had basically said, look, I don't want to see you for 3 or 4 days. Just go and have 3 or 4 easy days. Just jog, do not a lot. Yeah, and then we found out that he was like, he decided to go to Cameroon track in a 10 and do 40 times 200. Because he was like, well, I know my endurance is great, but now I need to work on my speed. Yeah. So on his supposed rest day, he was doing extra training. Like, and I'm not suggesting you're doing that, but it's just like there's certain character traits that I'm picking up from you that were also in Abel, which to some extent is what got him to the incredible level he was at. But yeah, obviously, yeah, it does at some point it did need to be reined in as well. So I wonder if, so where I'm going with all that really is to kind of say, I wonder if that is as much the job of your, whoever's looking after you from a coaching situation, which I think we'll hopefully talk about in a second. I wonder if that is their job as much as setting appropriate training. It's also kind of, yeah, holding you back, as you alluded to earlier, that someone else had said.
I completely agree. I think for me, because like when I had 4 days off last week, like when you tell runners, give them, especially endurance runners, like a week off after a big race, they will take it for granted. I'd take away like every takeaway I could get my hands on, chalk log, everything. And I feel like in order for, like Gavin and Joe, I might actually say this to them, in order for them to give me a rest day, they literally need to say, go get yourself takeaways or anything. Go get yourself, just have whatever the hell you want.
Ice cream.
I'll stop there. Yeah, exactly. I
haven't watched your, what is it, your 10,000 calories in a day video. I haven't seen it. I just thought I can't watch that. It's just going to be painful to watch.
The best one is the ice cream videos. You have to watch the what was it? Ice cream on a Sunday.
Oh, it's amazing.
Wait, is that your series, Jake Smith? Ice cream on a Sunday.
No, it's a one off.
Tried every single ice cream in the shops, in like every single shop. So if someone knows of a good ice cream from a different shop, I would love to try it. Literally, I go into Tesco's every time. I'm like, I've tried that.
Okay, so. A little segue again, because I do want to talk about coaching and your setup at the moment, because you've mentioned Gavin and Joe a few times without sort of really giving them too much of a shout out. But how did you survive in Uganda if you're addicted to ice cream?
So I had to. So the place I was staying, like they still did ice cream, and then I had to like find my different ways of like going to like a little store and being like, okay, they don't really have chocolate sauce, but they have like this other alternative thing. So I was like, I'll keep going in that. And I remember one night because I couldn't cook my own food. So we were like staying at like this place. So there were like a restaurant and like the two chefs. And one time they were like, do you want some dessert? And I was like, yeah, ice cream. And it's like, okay, which two flavors? And I was like, no, I don't want just two. I want like quite a few more. And they just kept laughing. I was like, I want it. This is my Sunday. I want this. So they like that.
Right, let's put Uganda on hold for a second, but remember to come back to it, because that's quite an interesting thing to chat about as well. So can you tell us a little bit then about your coaching setup? Because obviously, well, take it all the way back as far as you want, really, because I say the first time I remember kind of really seeing the name Jake Smith and thinking, bloody hell, this guy is a bit good, is I think it was the under 23 10,000 champs.
Yes, that was in Gavlin, Sweden or something.
Yeah.
And
that was the first time I kind of thought, hang on, who's this lad from Cardiff who's running a bit fast? Then obviously you've gone. Take it back as far as you want. Bring us up to the present day and then just tell us about your current setup.
Yeah, of course. So because I grew up in Hong Kong, so I didn't really have a coach out there or anything. And then when I came to Devon, I worked with Brian O'Hare and X Harriers. So, you know, he has like on a Tuesday, Thursday, they just have like group sessions, no real contact. I then decided to go to university. I met Kieran Lewis, who I live with now, at a mountain running champs. And he was telling me all about Cardiff and everything. So I was like, okay, I'll put this down. And I fell in love with it. I then got in touch with James Thee. I give him massive like shout out because he made me turn me into a 15:30 runner to a 13:38.7 and then a 70 minute half marathon to a 60:30. So it's like all working with him, all the training, just getting everything done. And then this year, I just felt like I just wanted a bit of a change. And it's nothing to our relationship didn't fall out or anything like that. We're still like on good terms. He like the other day was quite nice. He messaged me just making sure my running was going okay and make sure I'm like getting back to it slowly, which is really nice. But then I just wanted a bit of change. And I knew Gavin and Joe, and they lived around me, lived near my parents. So I was like, you know, I might get in touch with them. And because Gavin used to coach Joe, I was like, oh, I'm really quite inspired because she's more of a 10K athlete, whereas James is like coach more predominantly, like when you look at his names, like 1500 meter runners.
Yeah, sure.
Places. So I was like, okay, I'll give this Gavin a go.
And Callum, is it like... clear? Is it entirely clear to the listeners who we're talking about here? We said Gavin and Joe a few times. I'm not
I was just about to jump in there. So yeah, go on.
Okay.
So Gavin and Joe Pavey. So you may have heard of Joe Pavey if you're listening.
I think anyone listening to this podcast knows who Joe Pavey is. I just think when we were saying Gavin and Joe, it may not have been clear which Joe we were talking about.
Yes, I completely understand. And so yeah, so it was really good, like working with them, and then they've been so supportive. But not just like in terms of running, like my mental side to the sport, my and everything around, like that makes me a runner. They were just so helpful, and because I struggled with Uganda so much, I had to like make sure my mental side just went downhill after Uganda because I got ill, got injured, and everything. So they really, really like inspired me because they were telling me, I know. I haven't read Joe's book, but I can probably tell you every single story after their phone calls with Cam and Joe. But
so were they coaching you while you were in Uganda, or was that something that changed when you got back?
So when I went to Uganda, James was giving me some like some insight, but I was actually coached by the coach out there, Addy. So Chep's guy and all the NN lot. So I was just following their sessions. So I wanted a bit of change, and then ever since Uganda, I've been with Gavin and Joe Pavey, and the worst thing is I'm probably because they have quite a few athletes they train, but they've like taken on two athletes, and I'm definitely right now I haven't shown my capabilities because the other one's Ines Fitzgerald, so they're doing quite well with the two of us right now.
Yeah, she ran great at Euros, didn't she?
Yeah, so she lives quite close to me from here, so I see her when I'm back home. I see her quite a bit. Just like she said, she'll do the run walk with me, but I'm actually a little bit nervous the fact she came fourth for Euros and I'm doing run, walk, not allowed break 7 minute miling. So I'll be like, Ines, you might have to run around the very edge of the cricket pitch or something.
Gavin knows all about running around cricket pitches.
It's funny you say that, Carl. Since I've been back from what was my most recent issue? So many I can't remember. So since I've been back in full training, I haven't set foot on Brockington.
What? No, I don't believe that. Just because of the weather or?
So there's a few factors. Factor one is that they ripped it up. Like every year at some point they rip it up in order to relay and everything. So it went from being immaculate, beautiful surface. It went from being like a snooker table to just like a pretty terrible rugby pitch. And it hasn't quite recovered from what I can see. Right. And then simultaneously, all the runs that I would normally have done lapping around Brockington, I'm now doing on the treadmill.
Elastic
body weight, with the lever body weight support thing.
How are you finding that?
Awesome. Like, I can't like say enough good things about it at the moment. So we're only sort of probably 3 or 4 months in, but so good.
Jake, Gavin's been using it. Well, Gavin, you describe it to Jake. I wonder if this is something that's across your radar.
You've probably seen it. It's almost like a clip-on Altergy. Like you click this thing onto the treadmill and then pull the various levers and it just like lifts you up a bit. I was basically trying to do about one third of my total volume on there, which at the moment is about 25 miles a week. So I'm doing like 25 miles on the treadmill at about 80% body weight. And then everything else outside. And at the moment, it's working really well for me. But the flip side does mean I don't actually do very many like interesting outdoor runs now because it's all just either sessions or easy runs on the treadmill.
Yeah. But if it works for you, you kind of have to do it anyway.
Yeah, at the moment it's great. And being in Loughborough, like even the treadmill is a good quality.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of fun. Like treadmill is obviously pretty boring, but it's kind of fun because I can just like watch other people training in high pack.
Of course.
So yeah, little aside there about my obsession with running around cricket pitches. But yeah, it's gone. Has there been any significant changes in actual training, or have you not been able to be at that point because of when the injuries have come along? Or
well, definitely over summer, like the splits they were giving me, like Gavin set some really quick splits, and he gave me some double session days, some big ones, every now and then. But some of the training, I think a big thing as well is over the track, because I may mention when I did some testing, my lactic threshold had gone up so much, and I was working on my speed more and being given slower jogs, whereas with in my other training, I felt like I was doing a lot of steadier jogs.
Yep.
So I've never really done that properly over summer. And then now, like into winter, it's quite similar in terms of like keeping the jogs. I'm a fan of keeping jogs steadier, keeping your heart rate up. But it was the double session big days, which were really, really good fun. That's what I'm missing the most, because I absolutely love them.
Yeah. So as in double sessions, not just double runs, like working hard.
Yeah, double sessions. So working hard in the morning, working hard in the evening.
So, and when you do that, so Callum does something a bit similar to that, but in a kind of sort of Norwegian, keep it all very steady style. Is that your approach, or are yours a bit more intense?
I mean, I only did a couple and I think I made them very, very intense. So, but I need to probably hold back on some, and like Callum was saying, like maybe hit the prescribed splits instead of going a bit quicker.
Yeah. So what about easy runs? As you just mentioned there, you tend to be a little bit quick on the quicker side for easy runs, or
I think that for me, when I was running, I'm very much into like the heart rate. So I say sometimes when I get bored, I'm like to my girlfriend or Kieran and stuff, I'm like, oh, just pick a random heart rate number and I'll try and hit it on this run. And like I know my zone, so I know what I need to stay between. So the last mile was sometimes very slow or very quick.
On one hand, it sounds like, okay, fine, that's just a guy having fun, and you've got to keep training fun in order to keep the motivation high and everything. But again, if I'm going to be super critical, just for the purpose of challenging you, like not to have a go, but just to challenge you, like that doesn't sound like a very professional approach to me.
Oh, it probably isn't. It probably isn't at all. but it's like, I think, I know my zone. So say, for example, steady is over 150 heart rate, so on that run I will make sure it doesn't go above that, so just keeping it in recovery zone or anything. And
yeah, okay, so they haven't got carte blanche to just pick any number. It still has to
it has to be within the zone, like the zone, whatever. And it's probably so stupid, but it's just I love it. I don't
so they can't time, so you're not on an easy run and they can't just say 201 and sprint.
I can't do that.
You have to like change into your spikes and do a 1500 meter race at the end of your easy run.
So then based on that, you are using heart rate in training, then how often are you getting lab testing and things like that to make sure your values are kind of like relevant and up to date?
So I got had a test right before big half. That's where I found out I could deal with lactic better, and we were going to do more regularly, but because of the injury, we haven't been able to.
Yeah, of course.
But it was really interesting, and hopefully I'll do some more. Like when I'm back to continuous running, and like I've done a couple of sessions, hopefully I'll like book in for one. But we'll see from there.
So just to then change track a little bit, to kind of start talking a little bit about maybe NN, and kind of almost something that's interesting to talk about when we're speaking with high level athletes, just to get a bit of insight into how sort of the sport works on a professional side. Like a couple of questions from me, and you can kind of answer them in whatever order you want, and we'll just take it where it goes. But one, is that an accurate term to use for you? Are you a professional athlete? And then I'd also like to know, what does that entail? And when you talk about booking in to get testing, is that something you have access to? Is that something that would be no different to if I wanted to get testing? Or is that part of kind of like any governing body program or any sponsorship program? Just to get a little bit of insight into what is your life like as an athlete, as opposed to just, you know, like me, I'm an athlete, but that's not my job. That's just something I do for fun.
I would say I am professional because I think for me personally, it's like professional might mean when you start like making money off different brands. And like, I'm trying to like, I think the big thing is I have to like, I'm only allowed to wear Nike because being part of a team, I need to make sure like I put up like a good, when I go to races, I need to like look good in terms of in the clothing. I need to.
You got that down, mate. Don't worry about that.
So yeah. And with the other question about the labs. So Andy Jones, who works in Exeter, I'm working with him.
Okay.
So like he said he's more than like, I think because he saw some of my testing, he's actually used some of my, like he's a lot of people, quite a few people have messaged me, but when he goes to talks, he actually uses my values. Cause I think okay. he's very impressed by them or something. So he uses them. So I was like, okay, if you're going to use them, you have to help me out. So I think we have a little deal going on.
So is that coincidence that one of the top physiologists just happens to live near you, or like, yeah, like, is that why you picked him out, or like, is it just coincidence of geography or?
So James, he first got me in contact with him, and then luck, fortunately with Gavin and Joe, they both know him as well. So okay. when I moved over, like I let him know, and then Gavin and Andy have sorted it all out. So I'm very lucky because for some reason, Gavin and Joe literally know everyone in the country, it feels like. So I'm quite lucky there.
Yeah. So you talked about being a professional athlete is about, you know, obviously living off a wage that allows you to run. Is that wage coming from, or is that income coming from sponsors, or is it coming from NN running team?
So I get two wages. So I get one from Nike and one from NN, and both work on a different scale. So one pays me on like a halfly basis, the other one quarterly. Cool. And then you get like appearance fees on top of that, depending on like which races you go to and everything like that.
Yeah, 500 quid from the Bristol Track Club, 5K road race. Absolutely rolling in it.
So Jake, how did that come about? How did you become part of NN?
It's quite funny. You know Kevin Quinn?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
he called me on a random day because he knows NN quite well.
Yeah, he's friends with Yuri, isn't he?
Yeah, so he called me. He's like, he was drunk as well at the time, so I couldn't tell. I was like, are you being serious? He's like, Jake, what do you think about NN? I was like, yeah, I know them. He's like, well, they want to have a chat with you. I was like, nah, shut up. Like, he was drunk, so I was like, he's taking the piss here. So,
you don't know Quinny, do you, Callum?
No, not really. I know the name.
Yeah. Okay, absolutely great, lad.
Yeah, he's been really helpful. So I still owe him some kit, so I still have to get that to him. But he first got in touch with Yuri, and then Yuri, they saw like my world half because I raced a couple of the guys I trained with in Uganda and then the marathon and stuff. And because NN are more like, you can see from the athletes, they're more road based. And
yeah,
they do
sure.
have a couple of track runners, but they're more road based. So, yeah, I think. And then we just got in touch. And then it took quite a long time. So when I went to Europeans and Pace Bashir for the European Marathon, like that's when I first met Yuri in Netherlands.
Okay.
So it was like quite a long time until I could tell, really post about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you knew it was on the cards before it actually became.
Yeah. I knew it for quite a few months.
Do you know Valentine?
Yeah. I met him.
Okay. Yeah. So Valentine was who I used to work with when I was when I was working with Global.
Yeah. So Global is a great company, and I love like the whole aspect of it and everything. So it's been really good.
Have you been to their little headquarters in
I was saying to people I've probably been to Nijmegen almost the same amount of times I've been to my parents' house in Devon like this year. It's crazy.
It's a pretty cool place, isn't it?
It is cool. It's really cool. Like you have the trails and the track right there as well, so it's amazing.
So is Global Sports, are they the management company?
So they're the management company for NN, but Stefan Hassan is part of Global, but she's not part of that. They have a few athletes, and Morgan Caldwell, the triathlete, he's another example. He's part of Global, but not NN. So they have some other athletes who are part of the company, but most of them are NN athletes.
Yeah, sure. Global across all events and all over the world. Yeah, they got long jumpers and all sorts. But yeah, I mean, so Global, Callum, were Hailey was Global.
Yeah.
One of the big
players. So yeah. do they sort of dictate which races they want you to do? And I've seen, obviously, you talked about some of the races you've been pacemaking as well. Is that coming from them that we want you to come and pace? And do you get any, do you get much say in that? So you could say yes or no, basically.
I can to a, like, a degree, like he, so Yuri's exceptional. He talks to Gavin and makes sure, but like at the end of the day, like I'm supporting their brand. So I'm supporting NN, I'm supporting Global. So like at the end of the day, they're an agency. So they want me to be like making money for them.
Which yeah, sure.
Fair, because they've brought me in and I'm getting all this stuff from them. So they have more of a say of which races I do. But like, for example, now I'm injured, like we'll have, the plan will change.
Right.
But we all sit down and like we come to a good agreement. So it's really good.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so ultimately, yes, they're deciding the races to an extent, but they're only putting good options on the table that are in everyone's interest.
Yeah, okay. And I've heard that some sponsors, for example, can be fairly cutthroat when it comes to injury. Has the injury affected any of your contracts or income in any way?
Hopefully not. Like there was one like thing I'm a little bit nervous for, but Yuri said it's fine. Because at the end of the day, people get injured anyway. And like,
yeah, sure.
I did quite a few races beforehand and everyone knew I was going to do all these races. So, and I'm really close with Adam Sutton, who I work with in Nike, and he's absolutely fine about it because he knows I've like shown awareness of Nike. I've been to races and everything. So I've like played my part. Like, for example, I went to the 15K in Netherlands the other week. Yeah, my girlfriend was racing, but I just wanted to like go show my face for PR, basically. So
exactly. Be part of the event and like, part of the day.
100%, which they really liked. So it's like little things like that I can help them with.
Yeah. So does that, the social media side of things, does that come into it quite a lot as well? Because obviously you've got a fairly big following on your Strava and Instagram and stuff like that. Is that quite a key part of that side of things?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's really helped me. So I've like built up quite well. And I think they like it because I can like, a lot of people have asked me, for example, got shoes from Nike. They now understand what NN is. And it's quite funny when people hear about NN, they always message me about it. So I think I'm helping the brand in as much as I can.
Yeah, cool. So why don't you then give, like, we've obviously spoken a lot about NN running team already now, but why don't you just give us a little bit of an overview of what that actually is, because we're just kind of throwing it NN around here as if we know what's going on, but just for anyone listening who doesn't
know. For anyone not listening,
NN is like, I always forget what it's called, like the main name of it, but it's a Dutch,
I think it's an insurance company, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And they got involved. I was like speaking to Jos Hermans about it, and like they got involved with him, and it's like a very good company. And they, when I went back there quite a few months ago, they've now signed a longer contract to work with them. And then you have Chorus who've come in, Morton who've come in. So all these different sponsorships have all come in to work with NN. And it's just making the whole brand such a huge brand.
Basically,
Cal, NN is the title sponsor of a team put together of global distance runners.
Yeah, cool. So a follow-up question then is, do you think that this is the way to go to make running more interesting for people to view, is like creating these teams? Because I'm to an extent, I'm kind of a supporter of NN running team. You know, like I see you and I recognize you and I know you. You know, I see some of these other guys who I kind of recognize as, oh, that's the guy from NN running team. And I find myself supporting them. Do you think that there's, you know, scope to do this more within running?
Oh, 100%. Like, I really like, the different teams they have in America, I think they need to integrate it more into Britain.
Sure.
At the Olympics, for example, they're absolutely smashing us in terms of medals in athletics. And it's probably because they get to all meet and train together. Whereas like, yes, we have a few talent hubs in Britain, but they're like, not many people actually just come together, like the top guys and train together.
Yeah. But which is really, is strange because in Britain, like we've got some sports like cycling and rowing, for example, are huge on that. You know, like the cycling team train together all year round, going on various training camps, and
100%.
Yeah, not really seeing much of that in running.
I think they could do something, not like the Tour de France, but they bring in more teams. I reckon they could do something like the Tour de France.
Yeah, so obviously New Balance have done that New Balance Manchester, and that's kind of like a really good model as well. That it almost feels a little bit disappointing that no one else has stepped up and gone, yeah, you know what, look at this model. Because obviously without knowing any of the specifics, it doesn't feel like creating a running team is that expensive in the grand scheme of things, like certainly not compared to other sports.
Yes. I mean, as soon as you get some other sponsorships from other brands as well, that just helps you so much. You just like, I think people are just scared of like failing almost, but someone needs to like Team New Lands Manchester have done it perfectly. You've seen they go on all these training camps, they're all improving so much. So it's something I think someone needs to think about.
Yeah.
What do you reckon, Cal? Team running trips?
Yeah, I mean, why not? Get Jake signed up. We'll give him a bigger contract than whatever NN are offering.
We've just converted our garage, so we've got somewhere for them to live. So they can live in my garage.
Get an altitude tent, and it'll be just like being back in Uganda.
True. Okay, yeah. Yes, I'm glad we touched back on that before we let you go, Jake. So how did Uganda then come about? Because obviously, we organise training camps in Kenya, so obviously we're biased. But the standard route, it seems, would have been, right, I've joined NN running team, let's go to Kaptagat and train in Kenya. Why Uganda? And then tell us a little bit about it.
So Yuri literally looked at my training, was like, okay, like I mentioned before, they want me to get quicker over the shorter stuff before I step up to the longer stuff in a couple of years. And he was like, yeah, Kenya, they have more marathon-based athletes. Why don't you go train with the world record holder of the 10K? I was like, okay. Send me that. And it was unreal. It's one of the most beautiful countries I've ever been to. The most hectic and horrible travel I've ever done to get there.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like an 8-hour flight. You have to stop off in Rwanda for an hour, but it's not that. It's the car journey. I'd say it's about 200 kilometers, and it took us 8-9 hours.
Yeah, so that's the good thing about Kenya. You go straight to Nairobi, then get on another plane to Eldoret, and you're there.
No, there's no roads or anything, so you're just, it was manic. And, so it's the most beautiful country in the world. They don't have proper tracks, so honestly, I've put some photos on Strava, but we were running on grass tracks with, like, pipes in the middle of it, cows on the side. But every run I went on, you had, like, people follow, like, running with you next to you. And it was incredible. I went there, like, probably the worst thing was whenever it rained, all the electricity in the whole town went off. So that was a bit freaky, but it was an incredible experience.
How long were you there for?
It was like 4 or 5 weeks.
Okay.
So we kind of saw you go out there, obviously, on socials and everything and training with Cheptegei and stuff like that. But then kind of the flip side was when you came back, I don't know if you were injured or ill or something, but maybe you can just give us a bit of an insight into, you know, what happened on the return.
I pushed my body to absolute limit. Like, right. I didn't realize like people were missing some runs if they were tired. I was like, nah, screw that. Like, I didn't know. And I was covering like 8 to 10,000 foot of elevation just on, it's just a mountain area.
Yeah, sure. And
I really pushed myself, and I had.
Were you at altitude as well, where they are?
Yeah. 2,000 meters.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's enough that there's a solid stimulus from the altitude, and when you combine that with the hills as well, yeah, it's not easy, is it?
So I came back, and so the food they cooked there was really good, but the one thing I missed was red meat, and I almost got down to anemia level when I came back, because the way they cook it is so much different to us. And they could cook it for, say, 2-3 minutes less or, like, 5 minutes less. But it just made me feel sick. And when my girlfriend came out, she had it one night and she was throwing up the next day. So I was like, oh, I can't have this anymore. So I was living chicken and veg, had no iron in me. I lost so much weight because I didn't really think about it, like, how much food I should have been eating or anything. And it's just, like, I wanted that experience. I was going for walks, like, the coach was getting angry at me because I was going for walks every day. But I was like, I'm in a new country. Let me go see these things. But I think I was there for training. So if I was to go back, it's literally eat, sleep, run, repeat, basically.
Yeah.
Did you lose weight when we were in Kenya in the summer camp?
No, I don't. I've been to Kenya a few times on various training camps, and I generally don't. Like, I find that because you're on a training camp, you almost pay more attention to the eating. Yeah. So I'm like deliberately eating a lot more because I'm also training a lot more. So there are times when I'm like...
I lost quite a lot. Even though we were only there less than 3 weeks, I lost quite a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, okay. I just make sure I'm kind of like... Sometimes even when I'm like not hungry, I'll like deliberately just try to eat something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely one of those experiences where, yeah, I agree, like you're in a new place and you want to kind of go and explore. But on the flip side... you're a pro athlete, so like it's hard to weigh up the two, isn't it?
No, I completely agree with you. So like I don't take back anything because you shouldn't regret anything. And it's like, it made me think about training more, about food more and everything. So I'm like, okay, I needed that to happen. And now when I go to altitude next time, I know what I need to do.
Exactly. Good learning experience.
Yeah. So on that, let's finish on that then. Is there anything else you picked up from training with Joshua Cheptegei? Any particular big or small lessons or things that you've taken with you?
One thing is they do about a kilometer for a cool down, considering they do about 2 miles for a 2 miles for a warm up, which I found very strange. But then it affected me more because they were used to it. But when I got back to camp, I was like, oh my God, like my legs are still battered. Like I needed a bit longer just to get rid of everything. The jogs, they jogged. Like what you may have seen some long runs we did. We started at 9-10 minute miling at the very start. And the other runs, and I think as well, like a big thing like we were talking about before is like I haven't missed a session or a run or anything. If they were tired, they missed it. And same with the marathon boys. And the marathon boys, one of them won Commonwealth and the other one ran 2:04 and broke the Uganda national record. And I could probably count on two hands how many runs he missed just because he was tired.
Yeah, sure. Mm. So that's that rest and that listening to the body is a big part of
100%.
Jake, so is it final question? Is it too early to ask what's next? Is what's next just getting back to training?
Just getting back to training for now. People will probably find out soon, like fairly soon. But yeah, I'm just enjoying my run walks and keep cross training, get fit from that, and we'll see what happens.
I think why not just try and see how fast you can run off of run walk? Just be the new pioneer of run walk training.
Do a park run or something. Just go for it.
What do you think you could park run right now?
Honestly, the other day, like the third run was great. The second day, after 15, 16 minutes, even though I've done all this cross training, I was like, bloody hell, this is a long way. I looked at my watch, 15 minutes. I was like, oh, no.
14:50?
No.
There's too much battering on the legs, isn't there? That's the problem. Running to cross training, that's the crossover. There's no impact, is there?
Yeah, so. Yeah. I'll see. That's something I could consider.
There's only one way to find out, mate.
Don't tell me that.
Nice. Right, Jake, thanks very much, Jake.
Yeah, well, thank really you so appreciate much. That some brilliant stuff there. Jake, if we have got people listening who aren't already following you, what's the easiest way for people to follow along with what you're up to?
So on Strava, they can just follow me on Jake Liam Smith 98 on Instagram, and then on Strava it's just Jake Smith.
It must be a lot of Jake Smiths, but you must be near the top.
Hopefully.
Nice. Cool. Right. Thanks very much, Jake. Appreciate that.
Absolutely fine. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Conversations About Running, the podcast from Running Trips. We host training camps for runners of all levels. And our camps include Kenya experience in Attend Kenya and training focus camps in Loughborough. If you would like more information on any of our camps, to hear more from Callum and I, or to find other episodes of the podcast, please visit runningtrips.co.uk or find us on Insta at running_trips_official. Thanks for listening, and we hope you join us next time.